Good morning to you all. It is a great honor and a pleasure to be with you this morning. If there's one thing that I have learned in 9 years of working on college campuses, it's that God uses camps. He uses summer camps. As I sit and talk with so many students throughout the year, one of the things that I always find is that there are many who spend their summers at a camp, and at that camp they come either to know Jesus or they go there knowing Jesus, and they're strengthened in their faith. And so you have been sent by your parents to a great camp, and a camp that loves God. And am I cutting in and out? Okay. A camp that loves God and teaches you His Word. And so I hope all of those things are going to be true for you as well as you leave Greystone. I want to look this morning at a psalm, Psalm 27. If you have your Bible, you can open up to that psalm. You should know where it is, because I know that you have all been working on memorizing Psalm 23. So if you go to Psalm 23 and you turn just a couple of pages over, you'll find Psalm 27. I'll give you a second to get there. All right, while you're finding that, I want to ask you all, I want to start with a question, and it's really a question that I know the answer to, but I'm asking you this question because I want you to think about it. Have you ever been afraid? Yes, you can answer out loud if you want, yes. The truth is, all of us have been afraid. It doesn't matter how little we are, and it doesn't matter how old we've become, that there are times in our lives when we've been afraid. And the psalm that I'm about to read to us is a psalm of David. And many of you know something about the life of David, that David was the one, even when he was a little boy, who went out and fought against a giant. He fought against Goliath. So David was no weakling. David was brave, but there were also times in David's life when he became afraid, just like we all do. And one of the beautiful things about the Psalms is the Psalms teach us really what to do with a lot of the things that we feel inside, that sometimes we feel afraid. And you may say, I'm afraid and I don't know what to do with that. Well, the Psalms really teach us how to bring that to God, and how to pray our fear even back to God. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. I'm just going to read the first six verses of Psalm 27. It says this, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. For He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord." Amen. This is not the opinion of men. This is the actual Word of God. And it is always true. And it is given to us by Him in love. So let me pray to God and ask that He would help us and He would guide us by His Spirit to understand what His Word is telling us this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity. We thank You that You give us a day of rest where we can come and we can gather together, that we can sing praise to You, that we can be reminded again of the deep truths of Your Word. Father, we confess this morning that we are very prone to forget. that our hearts wander away, that our minds often forget some of the most elementary and deep truths of your word. And so, Father, we thank you for the time to come together to be reminded. Father, I pray that even in sitting and listening and receiving, that it would be an act of worship. Father, this morning, would you change our hearts and would you guide us by your Spirit? And Father, we ask this so that you would receive all of the glory. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. A number of years ago, my wife and I, Rosie, were invited to go on a mission trip. Have any of you guys been on a mission trip before? Yeah, mission trips are when you go usually away from your home and you go and tell people about the love of Jesus, and you also usually help them. Maybe you build, help rebuild a house or do construction. Well, my wife and I got invited on a mission trip that was to really a great place. It was to Switzerland. And so if you ever get invited on a mission trip to Switzerland, I suggest that you go. And I was really excited about this trip. And one of the reasons I was excited, other than being able to tell people about Jesus, I was also excited to see the Swiss Alps. I'm not going to lie. I love mountains. Do you guys love mountains? Now, I grew up, yes, very good. I grew up in the flat cotton fields of Memphis, Tennessee. And so I remember the first time that my parents, they took us really over here to these mountains, and I was able to see these mountains for the first time, and I just was mesmerized with how beautiful they were. And so I was excited to go to Switzerland and to see the Alps, and I'm so excited, in fact, that that first night I really couldn't sleep. And I woke up really early the next morning, and it was still dark outside. And so I decided that I would get up, and I would slip out, and I would put on my boots, and I would go for a hike. And so I started to hike up this mountain, and there was a valley below me. And on the other side of the valley were the three biggest mountains in the Swiss Alps. But they were covered in darkness. You couldn't see them. Because it was still, the sun had not risen yet. And so I kept hiking up this mountain. And as I was hiking, I started to feel on the back of my neck the warmth of the sun. And I started to see the trail in front of me begin to be lit up. And so I slowed down and I turned around and I took a seat on a rock. And I just watched. And what I saw was absolutely breathtaking. That I saw these mountains just sort of come to life. And I saw the Alps being painted with color by the sun. And purple and orange and white were all appearing before me. And I sat on this rock and just was astounded at how beautiful it was. And so much so that really for about 20 minutes that there was nothing else really in my mind and my heart. I was dominated by this beautiful sight. And I think all of you, you know, at some point in your life, you've been in a spot, you've been somewhere where you have been caught by the beauty of something, that you've looked at something to such an extent that it just dominated everything. It dominated all of your thoughts and it dominated your heart because you were just overcome by the beauty. You know, one of the great things about being at camp is that you get to spend so much time outside. You get to be in God's creation. And it's beautiful. And you get to stop and look at things that you normally maybe don't even pay attention to. You know, maybe you have seen a painting, or maybe you've been to the beach and you've been sitting on the beach and you just couldn't stop staring at it. Because you looked at the ocean and it was just so beautiful. That all of us at one time or another, that we've been in a spot that is so beautiful that it just sort of captivates all of our thoughts. Well, David is telling us here something about what we find to be most beautiful and what that has to do with our fear. Because what David is saying is that the thing that you find most beautiful in your life will be the thing that drives and steers and directs your entire life. And David shows us in the psalm today is that what he's showing us is that if we think about the things that we're most afraid of, and if we look at our fears, and then we trace those fears back, that what we'll find is that our fears are really rooted in looking at the wrong thing, in gazing upon the wrong thing. And so I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. I want to really talk about the fact that our fear is really, it's fueled and it's started by not believing in some of the most essential things that are true about God. And what David does in this psalm is really typical for him. He starts to talk to himself. Now, I don't know about you, but do you guys ever talk to yourself? Yeah, I talk to myself, you know, a good bit, and sometimes it's embarrassing when you get caught. But talking to yourself is really not a bad thing. It all depends on what you're saying. So David begins to talk to himself in this psalm. He sits down and he writes really a poem. And what he's doing when he writes this poem is he's preaching back to his own heart. That he is preaching to himself some of the most essential truths about who God is. That he is talking himself back into the reality. And what does he say? In the very first verses, he says, God is my light, and God is my salvation. He says that God is my stronghold, that He is my refuge of my life. Whom shall I fear? And you see, I believe David, why is he doing this? I believe David is in one of those moments where he has been caught by his own fear. And you know what that's like, don't you? That David, he's looking at his life, and David has some pretty scary things that are going on in his life. And David has things that hopefully we will never face, that he is being hunted down, oftentimes that he has been chased by his own son who wants his life. And so David is really in some situations that are pretty scary. And so David is probably at this point sort of overcome with fear. And so he begins to talk to himself. And you've all been in a spot maybe where you lay your head down at night on your pillow and you just have a hard time going to sleep because you're afraid. And maybe you start thinking about, you know, something that maybe you just messed up that day really bad. Or maybe you said something mean to one of your friends. Or maybe somebody's mad at you. Or maybe you're thinking about something that's going to happen tomorrow. That, you know, maybe you're starting back to school tomorrow. That's all going to happen soon. And maybe those things, they start to make you afraid. And you start to focus on them. And you start to think about them over and over and over again. Well, I think David is doing that as well. And yet he's starting to combat those thoughts with something else. He's starting to talk back to those thoughts. Why is he doing that? I would say that judging from the way that David is talking to himself, that unbelief is a major part of all of our fear. In other words, that you see David's reminding himself of the truth, that because the truth is often not evident to us. The truth is often not evident to us, that we can often look at our lives and we can say, there's a lot of scary things out there. There's a lot of things that I'm afraid of, that sometimes we can look at our lives and we can feel like that we just don't want to take a step forward because there's so many things out there that are scary. And often those things can become more true to us than what is actually true. And so David begins to preach back to himself. That our memories, is what we find, is that our memories are often really, really weak. And they're really, really short. And what happens is that when we forget who God is, when we forget that God is a God who, this God is a God who loves us, that He is good, when we forget that He is our salvation, as David says, that He is our light, that He is our refuge, that He is our stronghold, when we forget that He is a God of grace and that He is a God of mercy, when we forget those things, do you know what the result is? The result is fear. The result is that we start to look at all the other things around us, and those things begin to dominate our thoughts. You see, the truths that we learn about the Bible and the doctrines that we learn and all the things that Miss Libby has been teaching you guys in morning assembly, all of those great truths, those aren't there just so that you'll become a smarter person. And they aren't there just so that you'll be more intelligent, that you learn those things so that you might live a life that is bold, and a life that is without fear, and a life that is in the light. So I want to ask us this morning, maybe what are some of the truths that you have forgotten about God? What are some of the things about the nature and the character of God that you have forgotten, and how have those things played into the fears that you have in your life? David recognizes that his fear needs to be preached at, and so he takes it upon himself to do that. But then in verse 4, he moves even a step further. That really in verse 4, it goes from him reminding himself of the knowledge of God and who God is to something that's even really deeper than that. That he starts talking about dwelling and gazing. And you kind of get this sense that it's going beyond just the mind, that David is actually saying that he wants his entire body and his entire heart to be consumed with who God is. To the extent, and this happens for David, to the extent, and you see it in the psalm, that fear becomes something that's almost laughable. That fear becomes something that the people, the enemies that are encamped around him, he's no longer afraid of them anymore. Because David has gazed upon something that is so beautiful that it chases all of his fears away. And so I want to ask us this morning, what is it that we're gazing at? What are the things that we find in this life to be most beautiful? And oftentimes we can find so many things to be beautiful that we start to fixate upon and we start to chase after in life. There's an old church father named Augustine, St. Augustine. And Augustine talked about the fact that we have all of these things in our life that are very good. That we have friends and we have family and we have possessions and we have homes and we have pets and all of these things that are great. And he says, that's wonderful. But the problem is, when in any of those things become the one thing that we begin to focus upon. That when any of those good things become the thing that we set our gaze upon, that we find to be the most beautiful thing. Because really what we're doing when we do that is we start to look to maybe our friends, maybe we look to our possessions. We look to those things to be our light. And we look to those things to be our salvation. And we look to those things to be our refuge. And the problem is, those things cannot be our light. And they cannot be our salvation. And the result, when we gaze upon the wrong thing, the result becomes fear. Some of you, as you're starting a new school year, you may want more than anything to be a part of a certain group of friends at your school. And I remember how this was, and you kind of watch these other people and you start to fixate upon them, and you start to think, I want to be a part of that group to such an extent that it begins to dominate all of your thoughts. And the result of that? The result is that you go to school sort of afraid, don't you? You're kind of afraid that you're going to say the wrong thing. You're kind of afraid that you're going to wear the wrong thing. You're afraid that you won't be accepted. And that fear is coming from finding the wrong thing to be the most important thing in your life. It's fixating upon the wrong thing. And so Augustine said, to follow this logic, Augustine said that fear is always the result of gazing at the wrong thing, a thing that can never save us, and a thing that was never intended to. So if all of you can think about it is being a part of that certain group, or all you can think, what you think about most is, am I attractive enough? Am I pretty enough? Am I handsome enough? Do I have the right things? Do I say the right things? Am I funny enough? If those are the things that you're thinking about all the time, you're always going to be afraid because you're looking at the wrong thing. Our fear stems from looking to the wrong thing for purpose and salvation. But David, in this psalm, his confidence comes not from seeking simply to be a more confident person, or really even trying to get rid of his fear. David's fear goes away when he finally focuses on the right thing. When his gaze becomes captured by the beauty of the Lord, that he says that this is one thing that I ask, that I may gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. See, God has become the most beautiful thing to him. And it has dominated all of his thoughts, and it has dominated his heart so that all of the fears go away. So I think the question is for us, how do we do what David is doing in the psalm? How do we redirect our gaze? How do we find God to be beautiful? Because the truth is that we go along throughout the day and we forget this. And the truth is that this is a really hard thing for us to remember. So I want to look just at a couple of things that David does really practically in this psalm. And the first one is in verse 4, is that David asks and he seeks. He says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after." That David, he both asks God and he also seeks after the thing that he asked for. That he doesn't just ask God and then stop and sort of wait. But he asks God and then he says, now I'm going to pursue that thing. I'm going to pursue after this. And so if God, if you're listening this morning and you say, well, God is not really that beautiful to me in my life, and I'm worried about that. Or if you say, I'm kind of caught in sort of the trap of self-pity, that I'm always kind of feeling sorry for myself and for my life, why don't you ask him this morning to reveal what it is that you're fixing your gaze upon? Why don't you ask him this morning if he would take your eyes and fix them upon him, that he would reveal his beauty to you? And then why don't you seek after that? What does that look like? That means for the rest of this day, that during your free time, that you begin to seek after that, that you open God's Word back up and you ask him again, reveal your beauty to me. And then seek it, and then pursue it, that continue to pray for it. But I think secondly, what we see David doing that's really practical is that he's stopping. That he stops in the midst of all of the things that are going on. He stops, first of all, to write a poem, which is probably something that most of us don't stop to do. He stops to preach to himself, to talk to himself. He stops to dwell and to inquire and to gaze. You know, all of those things that David is doing, they mean pausing in our schedule and pausing from all the things in our lives that tend to want our attention and saying, I'm going to stop and I'm going to give my attention to God. It's the same thing that Jim Boy was talking about when he was talking about what worship is, that what we do today is that we are able to stop. That we're stopping from our normal schedule. That we're stopping from, you know, normally if you're in the school year or if you're in the work week, you stop from your work so that you're not looking at your work any longer, but you have a day to gaze upon the work of God, to be reminded of the work that He has done on your behalf. But that means that you have to stop. And as you get older, a lot of you right now, it's not that big of a deal. As you get older, it becomes really hard to stop. But then lastly, what we see David doing in verse 6 is really amazing. That part of what redirects his gaze is that he gives thanks. That David, and this isn't when all of his problems are not solved, that not everything in his life has gotten better, but in the midst of him being surrounded by his enemies, David says, I am going to give thanks to God. It's an amazing thing. Listen to what he says. He says, now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. And so you have this picture of David surrounded by enemies, surrounded by horrible circumstances. And he says, in the midst of that, I am going to worship. I'm going to remember what I truly have to be thankful for. And I want to ask you this morning, do you give thanks? And we are people who have a lot that God has really blessed us. And yet we are also people who are usually pretty good at complaining, aren't we? That often we focus on the things that we don't have instead of giving thanks for the things that God has lavished upon us. Being thankful, giving thanks, even in the midst of hard circumstances, is one of the things that takes our gaze and it lifts it back up to Him. I want to end by asking this question, because you may say, well, all of that seems to make good sense. That my fear is really rooted at finding the wrong thing to be the most beautiful and gazing upon that instead of gazing upon the beauty of the Lord. But you may ask this very good question, and this is a question that is good to ask. Why is God beautiful? Why does He deserve my attention? Why should I stop and gaze at Him? That's an okay question to ask, and that's a good question to ask. And I want to answer that really with one thing. God is beautiful because of His love. He is beautiful because of His love. In the New Testament, John says this. He says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. You see, David could say, God is my salvation. He is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Because David had experienced the forgiveness and the love of God. And the reason that God is beautiful to David, and the reason that God has captured his attention to such an extent, is because David has found himself to be sinful. And yet as he stands before God, he has found God to be one who forgives. And David says, this God is a God of grace, and He is the most beautiful thing that I have ever seen. He does not treat me as my sins deserve. You see, when David, as he talks about going into the temple to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, do you know what happened when David would go into the temple? He would see, as he walked in the Old Testament, they would offer sacrifices to God. And so David would go into the temple and he would see an animal, and he would see that animal's blood being shed. And when David saw the animal's blood being shed, David would say, that should be my blood. But God has provided a sacrifice. And for you and I, we live in a time that David did not live in. And we live in a time where we do not look at the sacrifice on that altar, but instead we look at the cross. And we see that Jesus is the one who is the perfect sacrifice, that Jesus is the perfect substitute for us, and that He has borne our punishment for those of us who believe. And that as we bear witness to that, and as we comprehend that love, and as we see that Jesus has absorbed everything that is truly bad in my place, we can say with David, what is left to fear? There is nothing that is left for us to fear. And I want to ask you this morning, do you know that love? Have you seen that love? Have you experienced the love of Christ and the forgiveness of Christ? And if so, is that the thing in your life that you have found to be most beautiful? I would encourage you today to take time to think about Jesus and to think about the forgiveness that He has offered us, to gaze upon it, and to use that to chase all of the fears away. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for the ways in which it reproves and corrects us, that even our minds have been shaped and warped by sin, and they need to be corrected. And we thank You that Your Word does that for us. We thank You for Your servant David, who took time to combat his fear by sitting down and writing this psalm. We thank You that You have preserved it for us today. And I pray for all of us that we would be able to gaze upon your beauty. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.